of Malachi, third chapter of the book of Malachi. What's this? Where's Justin's Bible? They didn't send it. Justin, this is bad business. I do apologize. We only got four Bibles in the box, but we will get you one. That's a promise from your pastor. And I apologize. I just went on by those four Bibles. Well, anyway, repent. Stand, please, in reverence to the reading of God's word. Verse number 7, chapter 3. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And the answer was, in tithes and offering. You're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes unto the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts, and all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Let us pray. Father, again thanking you today for your kindness and goodness, thanking you for the precious Bible, the Word of God. Thank you for this portion of Scripture. Lord, help us, Lord, tonight as we expound upon it. Help us to learn tonight the truths of God's wonderful Word, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, a lot of times we look at the book of Malachi, the third chapter, and we kind of scringe sometimes and say, oh no, it's about tithing and offering. But I think it's one of the sweetest, precious portions, because through the teaching of tithes and offerings, we receive some of the greatest blessings from God. And this message is not a message of condemnations. It's a message of blessing. And that's what I intend for it to be. I want us to learn from it, to hear what God says about it, and know that the blessings of God comes from obedience to God. And that one of those things is the obedience in our giving. And how God can bless. So, don't take this as something bad. Take it as something good. Something we can truly learn from and be helped by. I want to give you a few statistics. Shoplifting, they tell me, I read this just the other day, shoplifting and employee theft rank as the number one robbery category. Shoplifting and employee theft, thieving, stealing. And it ranks as the number one robbery category. Most of those, they say, involve less than $30. But they account for 70% of the loss suffered by businessmen, which is $24 billion, billion, not million, billion dollars annually. Now, I don't know about you, but that shocks me. And I think it should. But the shoplifting and employee theft put together accounts for 70% of business loss, which is $24 billion a year. That is a shocking thing to think about. And most of them involved only $30. So how many has it happened? It's happening all the time, everywhere, on a constant basis. Well, I think maybe we ought to be shocked also at and if God would tell us how much we are robbing him, I think we would be shocked. I don't think that number would even be anywhere near what we're talking about when we talk about the robbery of God. Let me give you again a little bit of statistics on the average Protestant. Now we're talking about Protestant, and in this thing here, which they compiled, was talking about Protestant, and they included we Baptists in that too. Now we Baptists are not Protestant. I don't know if you ever knew that or not. I'm not a Protestant. I'm a Baptist. But they included all of that in there, and the Protestant, of course, does not include the Catholic. But this was people who considered themselves Protestant gave only 3% to their church annually. Now that means a lot gave some and a lot probably gave nothing, but average of 3% a year to their church. Listen to this. Of an average Protestant, $3 per person is given annually to missions. Now that's the average. Okay? Much, much, much more is spent for care and feeding of pets than is given to churches and charity in the United States of America. Caring about a pet more than we care about a soul. Now, Brother Ross, are you against caring for pets? I think you know I'm not. But I'm saying to you, people are more concerned about their pets than they are the souls of men. This is an amazing thing. It ought to shock us. And I'm saying to you, that's why Malachi here is shaming Judah for their robbery of God Almighty. And I want to tell you, that robbery is going on all over the United States of America. Okay? So what we want to do is try to see, what does God think about it? What does he think about it? And what should we do about it in our own hearts? Why do we have a heart that says, I don't have to give to my local church or to God's work? Why do we have a heart like that? What is the problem? And God calls it robbery. In verse number 7, he said, even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinance. He was looking back probably in the days of Abraham, the days of Moses, and back in there. He said, you've walked away from my ordinances. And here he's specifically talking about the ordinances of tithing and giving ordinance or giving offerings. And so, but again, I am so reminded of the goodness and greatness of God, because look what he says in that verse of scripture. And he said, you've not kept them. Just return unto me, he said. Just return to me. He says, return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? This is amazing verse of scripture. And through this, you'll find that Israel, as we've seen before, Judah here, is always asking questions because they don't even understand their sinful condition. They don't understand it. They say, well, you know, return to you. What do you mean return to you? Where have we, how can we return to you? We're already with you. That's basically what they were saying. And if you notice, God says, you return unto me and I will return unto you. He says, you return first. See, that's like the prodigal son. If you look back on that thing, that's got a tremendous teaching, wonderful thing. The prodigal son, he went home before the father stepped out and welcomed him. And God is saying the same to us. He says, return unto me and I will return unto you. And then they ask the question, wherein shall we return? In other words, what is it that we went away from you? They were so blinded to their spiritual condition, they didn't even realize what was going on. And you know, I asked that myself. I said, do we as Christians today have any discernment whatsoever about our spiritual condition? I don't know if you have, but I think we need to. I think we need to do some self-examination. Did you ever just sit down and have a talk with self? I mean, did you ever just sit down and have an examination and let God examine your spiritual condition and my spiritual condition and just let God examine it? Did you ever take a time to just sit down and look at your life and say, just look at all the areas of your life and say, what do I do that's pleasing to God? What do I do that's not pleasing to God? I mean, just let him examine us. Did you ever think about the way you speak and the way you talk and the words that come out of your mouth, corrupt communications that comes out of our mouth, and say, you know, I need to do an examination about this thing here called the tongue?
Yes, sir.
I mean, have you ever really honestly sat down and done an examination? See, that's why Israel got in, or Judah here, got in the shape they was, is because they had not done a spiritual examination. They didn't even realize they was away from God. And we can get that away. See, we can walk away from God and we can get to that same situation where we don't even realize that our condition is the way it is. Did you ever stop and examine yourself? Where do you go? That's places where God would disapprove of. Where do you go? What do you do that God would disapprove of? What kind of condition are we truly in? Let me ask you this. Did you ever stop and ask yourself, do I witness? I mean, I think anybody in this church today would know and believe that they should witness for Christ. Now, do we do that? Stop and ask yourself, what kind of condition am I in? Examine yourself. Do I ever do any witnessing for Christ whatsoever? You see what I'm talking about? Do we read our Bible? These are basics, folk. Do we read our Bible? Do we feed upon the Word of God? Now, remember, we're examining our spiritual condition. Reading the Bible is part of our spiritual life. So what do we do? Do we do that? Check our praying. Do we pray? Do we spend time in prayer? And then when at the end of this thing, we ought to be able to look and say, you know what? My spiritual condition is either okay or it's not so good. I better do some checking out. And he also here is wanting them to check out their spiritual condition as far as giving is concerned. Now, you didn't come in tonight and I decided to preach about tithing. God had this planned a long time ago. I've been preaching through the book of Malachi. I come to this portion of scripture and I'm not going to skip it or skip over it. There's a preacher one time who said that he came to the portion of scripture where it said that women was not to usurp authority over the men. And he said, I ain't going to touch that with a 10-foot pole. Well, you don't come to a portion of scripture and say, I'm not going to touch that. Tithing and offerings is something, folks, that will bless your life. And God wants us to check out our spiritual condition. They did not have any idea that they was even away from God. So they said, where can we return to? What do you mean return? And I'm afraid that we Christians sometimes are in a spiritual stupor about our condition as far as God's concerned. And really, the old devil keeps us busy. We need to take time and sit down and have a spiritual examination of our life. And you need to take time to do that. You need to take some time away and sit down and say, where am I at spiritually? If God would say to me, return, would I even know what he meant? You understand what I'm saying? So this is what he was saying here to Judah. Now, in verse number 8, he says, will a man rob God? Quite a question. Amen. Let me share with you. The word there, rob, means to defraud. It means to take forcibly. It's used one other place over in Proverbs 22:22, where it says, rob not the poor. Its word means that, you know what you've done? You've defrauded God. You've taken forcibly. Justin, it would be like if I'd come down there with a gun, I don't have one, and stick it in your belly and say, you give me everything you've got. To some degree, that's what we're doing God when we say we take his tithes and offerings that belong to him. And God says that is robbing God. Amen?
Amen.
Now, folks, just listen to your preacher. I'm trying to help you, not trying to hurt you, not trying to condemn you. I'm trying to help you. Because this is very, very serious business. You see, they had robbed God, even here in the book of Malachi, they had robbed God in many, many ways. First of all, they failed to give him the honor he deserved. If we fail to give God the honor that he deserves, we're robbing him of that honor. True? Not only that, the offerings that we learned earlier were corrupt sacrifices. They brought the blind, they brought the sick, the animals that were sick and blind, corrupt. They brought them and used them as offerings unto God Almighty. They was robbing him of the very best of offerings. They was robbing him because they turned to idol worship and worshiped false idols. They robbed him of the worship that he deserved. Not only that, they in chapter 2 of Malachi, they were breaking the marriage covenants that they had made, and they was going and leaving the bride of their youth and going and marrying heathens. They was robbing God of the obedience to his word. And then also they was defrauding the poor. And when you defraud the poor, you rob God. And they was holding back things. I preached a sermon. It's been many years ago, but I was proud of myself. It was the four T's. So I've never forgot it. It's the four T's. First of all, you rob God by holding back the time he deserves. Time is his. And we rob him when we do not give him the time he deserves. Not only that, the talents that we have, that God has given us. We rob him when we don't use those talents that God has given us for his glory. Amen? And we rob him when we hold back the tithe that belongs to God. And we rob him when we hold back the testimony that we have and don't use it for the glory of God. We rob him. Amen? So they was robbing God in many, many ways, you see. So how are they robbing God, you see? That's what they ask. Again, they ask a question. They didn't even know they was robbing God. Okay? And he said, he gave the simple, simple answer. Look at verse number 8, the last four verses. Words. In tithes and offerings. Said, Judah, how did you rob God? They said, they wanted to know, how did we rob God? He said, in tithes and offerings. You've robbed me of them. Okay? Now, here's what he said in verse number 9. Because they robbed God, there's some real problems. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. In other words, you see, there's a curse that comes along with robbing God. I know he's talking to Israel. Listen, I know this. I understand it. I recognize that. But the principles and precepts of God's word are the same. And God expects us not to rob him. We are to give unto his work because God said to. Okay? And we'll talk about that in a minute. But you see, I don't know why, and I've never understood this and don't need to. It's none of my business. But God does bless some people more than other people. He gives to some people more than he gives some people. I don't know all the principles behind that. I don't know why he always, but he chooses to do that, and he's sovereign, and he can do anything he wants to. But I do know this. If you follow through the scriptures, the Word of God and you even follow through life, you'll find out that God blesses the liberal giver. A person who will give liberally, God blesses. And that's scriptural. We'll get a chance to look at some of that. See, I don't know why there's millionaires and some people are poor and all that. I don't know all those things, but I do know this, that if you follow through the scriptures and you follow even through life, you'll find out who people who gave and gave and gave, God blesses. Because that's the way he does. So to rob God is actually what we are doing. To rob God, we're robbing ourselves. You see, when you think about it, folks, you say, well, rob God. God's got everything. I mean, you think he's going to miss something? He's not wanting it. He's not wanting it for his benefit. He's wanting it for our benefit. Amen? And so we've got to understand that robbing God is not something, well, we are doing it against God, but it really hurts us and removes the blessings that God wants to give us. All right, I want to go over to 1 Corinthians now. You probably hold your place there in Malachi. In 1 Corinthians, first of all, we're going to skip through the scriptures for just a little bit. 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter. If we would have taken time to go back to Leviticus, the very last chapter of Leviticus, almost down near the end of that chapter, the very book of Leviticus, you'll find out that God, under the law, establishes tithing as something that is a must. He establishes that, and he says to bring their tithes and offerings into the storehouse. Okay, and even here, you see, he said, bring all, in verse 10, bring ye all your tithes into the storehouse. But I want to show you over in 1 Corinthians 16 chapter. Let's read the first two verses. He says, and now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. Now, what he's talking about here is, he's saying you gather together on the first day of the week. You bring your tithes, your offerings, you bring your that which God has prospered you. You bring it on the first day of the week. That's on Sunday. Right. That takes for granted that you would be on church on Sunday. And you would come to church, and then you would give your offerings as God has prospered you. You would give that then as an offering here. And where do we do that? It says lay it up in store. I know there's a difference between the storehouse of the Old Testament, and I know there's a difference between the storehouse of the New Testament. The Old Testament was a temple, and they had a special place in that temple where they would brought all the tithes and offering. They brought grain. They brought all fruits. They brought all kinds of things into there. So as God said, there would be meat in his house. But it's the same principle carried over here. We're to do the very same thing in the house of God. Bring those tithes and offerings to the house of God so there'll be meat in his house. How else could a church run if the tithes and offerings of God's people were not brought in? How else could we support 33 missionaries back there if we didn't have the tithes and offerings of God's people? It'd be an impossibility. How could we run all the ministries that we have here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? How could we put gas in those buses that go out every Sunday and pick up children? How could that be done if there was not money brought into the house of God? That's the way God has planned it. That's the way he does it. And so the ministries here are supported by the tithes and offerings of God's people. I don't really think you folk have trouble with that. I really don't think you do. I think you've understood that. That's why you come. That's why you put your tithes and offerings in. And that's the way it's supposed to be. You see. And the tithes and offerings, I'm not going to go back there, but if you would go back in Abraham's day and you go back in Jacob's day, which was before the law, you will find out that the tithes and offerings, Jacob said he was going to give tithes and offerings. Abraham gave to Melchizedek tithes and offerings before the law was. So tithes and offering has been. That's the way God runs things. That's the way God does things. Now, I just want to show you, you're over in the New Testament, so turn to the book of, keep your place in 1 Corinthians, will you? Kind of keep your place there. And Matthew, the 23rd chapter of Matthew. Chapter chapter 23, verse 23. I'll just read it. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Listen, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done. But listen to what he says, and not to leave the other undone. He never did do in the New Testament, he never done away with the thing of tithes. Right. Jesus said here, yes, you're doing these tithing of all these things, but you ought to do also the other things, which the weightier manners of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith, these he said you ought to done, but not to leave the other undone.
Right.
So when people want to say they don't believe in tithing, they're believing absolute opposite of what Jesus Christ taught. The Son of God. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm trying to just simply say to you, giving and tithing and offerings is a part of the Christian life. And we'll talk a little more about that, but I want you to go now over to 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. I'm not going to read a whole lot of scripture, but I want to read a few verses just to kind of give you a sense of what's going on. In the 8th chapter of 2 Corinthians, verse number... One, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that is that in a great trial of affliction, these people were in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy, even through this great trial of affliction, their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. This is amazing. God said, even all the afflictions that you're going through, even though you're in great poverty, you abounded in your giving. That's what he said. Okay? Verse 7. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. And if you read the whole sense of that, the grace he's talking about is the grace of giving. And I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. What he's saying to us is that the sincerity of our love is proved by our giving. That's how we're proving the sincerity of our love. Verse number 12. And he says, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Talking about having a willing mind. Folks, we've got to come to that place where our hearts are turned over to the Lord. We have a willing mind. We have a willing heart just to do what God says to do in his word and give. It proves the sincerity of our love. You could just go through the scripture over and over and over. I preached a series, I think it was 9 sermons on the subject of treasures. It'd be good sometime if I re-preach those, but I'm just simply saying to you, there are tremendous verses, tremendous teachings throughout the Bible concerning giving. And what God is trying to tell us is that tithing, I believe that tithing is a proper standard to start with. It's the floor, not the roof. But tithing is a place or a standard where we ought to start with. Now, here's what I want to ask you. I don't know how you feel. I don't know what you believe on these subjects. But I want to ask you a question. You know, some people say to me, I don't believe in tithing. I don't believe you have to tithe in the New Testament time. I've heard all kinds of stories. Would you do me a favor and back up your belief with Scripture? See, this is the thing where we get into it. They want me to back up tithing with Scripture, but they want to say I don't believe in tithing, and they don't ever back it up with a principle from Scripture. If you don't believe in tithing, you ought to have Scripture that back up your belief. I mean, isn't that true? And that's true of anything. Do you know why I don't drink alcoholic beverages? Proverbs 23. Last 7 verses of Proverbs 23 is why I do not drink alcoholic beverages. I have a scriptural basis why I don't drink alcoholic beverages. Why don't I watch wicked DVDs and these other things and movies and all that? Why don't I do that? I have a scriptural reason why I don't do that. The Bible says I'll set no wicked thing before mine eyes. What I'm saying, if you have a belief, you ought to have a Bible truth that backs it up. Don't just say you don't believe in tithing. I've heard that all my life. I ask them why you don't. Well, I just don't believe it, brother. I don't believe it. Well, give me scripture. I've never had anybody be able to give me scripture and say, this is why I don't believe in tithing. Never. But I say to you, on anything, on your Bible belief, don't you think you ought to have scripture to back up why you believe something? If you believe you ought to go out and drink, then have some scripture that tells me and shows me why you believe that. True? I mean, you know, back up your life with scripture, with truths from God's word. And if you cannot do that, then don't you think you better get busy doing it? Minding the Bible. Minding what God says. Amen? Sure. You see what, and here's the real problem. Giving comes from a willing heart. You know, I've told you this before, but I'm just telling you, and I think you could give some of the same testimonies. But when I learned about tithing, Donna and I learned about tithing early in our Christian life, I didn't know anything about it. I never heard anything about it. Never. Didn't know a thing about it. But when I was taught it, there was something in my heart that changed. And said, you know what? That's what I ought to do. And my little grubby hand had that money the first time for tithing, and that plate come by, and I mean, I was practically sweating. I mean, really, I admit, and I dropped that in there, and there was a joy. I'm serious. There was just a joy that was there. And I didn't even understand it all, and all the principles of God's word. But I knew I should tithe. Amen. So I'm just simply saying to you, why don't we believe in tithing? Why don't we tithe? Why don't we believe in offerings? Because that's what he said, tithes and offerings. I mean, tithe should be the floor, not the roof. Amen. So God is teaching us, you see, here. And here's the whole thing about it. We as a people, we as believers here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, support this church. You do through your tithes and offerings. Listen, it's against the word of God for unbelievers to support a church. It is absolutely unscriptural to have church raffles and rummage sales and garage sales and bake sales and car washes and in the name of the church. And I see it all the time. Well, we're doing this for so-and-so church. We're raising money for so-and-so. That brings disgrace to the name of Jesus Christ. He does not need somebody to have a rummage sale in the name of some church, his church. He will take care of his church through tithes and offerings. Now, you might say to yourself, I'm going to have a garage sale or a rummage sale. I'm not going to call it in the name of the church. I'm just going to have it, and whatever I get from it, I'm going to give to the church. That's you making money and giving to the church. But don't ever, ever, ever do it in the name of the church. Please don't put Blessed Hope Baptist Church's name on it. Amen. You see, that brings disgrace to the name of Jesus Christ, because he's promised to take care of his church. And he does it through tithes and offerings of God's people. Amen. See, it's supposed to be supported by those who give willingly from their heart as God has prospered them. I want to use a little illustration on that. Jason, will you come up here and chat? You come up here just a moment. Just come on right up here and stand right up here. Justin, you are a fellow who works every week, and you make $1,000 a week. Okay? Chad, you work every week, but you only make $200 a week. Okay? Now, I want to ask you, Justin, tithe, which is a tenth, what should you pay in tithe? $100. And what should you pay in tithe? $20. That leaves him $900. That leaves him $180. Now you get into the offerings. Chad, tell me just what you're going to do for offering.
You've only got $180 left, but what are you going to do about giving some off?
Just 5% more, 6% more.
Okay, let's keep it even, so 5% would be what? Why don't we do, give me dollar value, just give me a dollar that you're going to give. Make it even. You're going to give $15. He's going to give $15 out of that, and that makes it $165 left. Now, what are you going to give as an offering out of this? Now, come on, you ain't either. No way in the world are you going to do that. All right, he's going to give $50 or $100. Let's see, he gets real generous and gives $100. Okay, you know what you still have left? $800. He has $165. Now, what I'm saying to you, when God says, as he has prospered, I believe to some degree that's what he's talking about. I don't think that Chad ought to give $100 out of his paycheck, because that would put him down to $80. Is that what it was? $80. He has nothing left. He don't have enough to live on. But this guy over here still has, if he gives $100, he's still got $800 to live on. So I think God said us that he has prospered us. We ought to take into the account, and you can sit down. You ought to take into the account, what did God give us?
Good. Right.
What has he given us?
Amen.
Amen? You see, and we need to take into account that in our giving, okay? We give our tithe, that belongs to God. That's his. No doubt. But offerings, what are we going to do about offerings? Well, I think we got to get the mind of God even concerning offerings. God, what do you want me to give according to offerings? Don't you? And we ought to take into account not only what we have, but what we have left.
Right.
Amen. Amen. See, I think that's very important. And I think that's where God puts families together. And here's what really gets me, though, and I'm going to go the other side. Really gets me is some people think because they are so poor, they don't have to tithe and give offering. This is for everybody.
Right.
Over in 1 Corinthians 16 chapter, let everyone... Everyone. Now, Chad there was not going to be bringing as much, $20 in his tithes. He was going to give 15 more, which was very generous, in offering. You see? You understand what? But everyone, and a lot of people say, well, I can't tithe. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Did you ever think about, and I'm serious about this, I know we all go through tough times in life and things like that, but did you ever think about maybe the reason you don't have much is because you've quit tithing and God has put a curse on it instead of a bless on it? Now, I know we go through times and troubles and things. I know all those things. But do you want the curse of God upon your life and not tithe? And God says there's a curse on that. For Israel there was, and the same principle is still true today, I believe. He blesses those who give. And this old thing, because I've heard it all my life, well, we just don't have much. You know, we just can't hardly make it. Well, it may be the reason you can't hardly make it is because you're robbing God. He didn't tell me when to tithe. I want to tell you the truth. I was up to here. I was in debt. I was a mess. My wife's shaking her head. That's right. And he didn't say, now you wait till you get yourself out of debt before you go tithe. No, no, no. He said, give your tithe and your offering. And then God got me out of debt. Because I was obedient. We was obedient to the word of God. It took time and all of those things. I went on a 5-year program to get myself out of debt, Don and I. 5 years. I said, we're going to be out of debt at the end of this 5 years. And we was. But you know what we had to do? We had to quit spending.
Amen.
Quit buying everything. Set necessities of life. And we kept tithing.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Now, you hear this, preacher? Whether you understand or not, I'm helping you.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You may think I'm giving you a hard time, but I'm not. I'm helping you. I'm telling you that's the blessings of God.
Right.
That's how God blesses, okay? And he tests us and he proves us through our giving. Okay? Now, if you notice there, and in verse number 10, going back to Malachi, verse number 10, bring, he says, all the tithes into the storehouse that they may be meat in my house, and prove me now. Herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. First of all, God promises to Judah, he promises them prosperity. Now, I'm saying to you, first thing you're going to say is, boy, if I give, God's going to pour out all the money and all. That's not what he's saying, folks. I'm telling you, he's going to bring prosperity to your Christian life. And he'll give you the needs of your life and meet the needs of your life. And you know what I've found out in time, over time? That God, I mean, he responding to my giving, responding to my tithes and to my offering was not always the next day.
Right.
Might be 10 years down the road. And then God responds and gives and provides. Why? Because there's been faithfulness back here for all of these years. See, so many people today want to give, you know, they want to give $100 and say, God's going to give me $1,000 back. Well, you better just go hide your head in the sand somewhere. That's not the way God works. Okay? Then also in verse number 11, what he says is, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. What's he do? He rebukes the devourer. There is much money that is devoured, much material things that's devoured. It's taken away from us, and we don't even realize it. We're living a life, and all at once this money goes, we don't even realize it. And the reason it's going is because we're not tithes and we're not offering. And so what happens is, okay, then you don't give it to God. I'll take it, God says. I'll make sure you don't get any enjoyment out of it. And that's what he did with Israel. Okay? Now, folks, listen. These are true teachings. You better get a hold of them for your sake. You say, well, I don't want to give tithes and offerings. I don't believe it. Okay, fine. Do it your way. Frank Sinatra did too. You know where he's at. You can do it your way, but it isn't going to work.
Amen.
Because God says, I will. I'll take care of the pestilence. I'll take care of the problem you have with your crops. I'll make them fruitful. Now, I know he's talking to Israel, but he's also talking to us as far as fruitful. Prosperity in our Christian life. Okay? And then in verse 11, that's what he says at the end of verse 11, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time is in the field. In other words, it won't drop off of the vine early before it's ripe and be destroyed and be no good. See how God protects and takes care? And then you look again at verse number 12. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Do you understand that what that brings is a great testimony for God? He said the nations around you is going to look and say, look at them, our crops are being destroyed, but look at them. Look what their God is doing for them. They're fruitful. And I want to tell you, I believe that's the way it ought to be in the Christian life. Look what God is doing for us. No, I don't have to be poured out money after money. I'm not talking about it, but I'm talking about a prosperous Christian life. And the world needs to see Christians living that kind of life and God blessing them. Needs to see that. So I'm saying to you tonight that a Christian cannot afford not to give. Now you do whatever you want to do. Can't make you do a thing. But I'm telling you right now, you can't afford not to give. Now, what I want to do is just real quickly, I want to take you to some scripture, and then we'll close. Luke 6th chapter. Sixth chapter of Luke,
38th verse. Give, listen, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you also again. See, he's talking about here, and he's talking about like a bushel basket. He says it's a good measure, filled up, good measure, he says. Press down, you press it down in there. You see, and he says, and shaken together, you shake it to make sure it's all compacted well. Amen. And he says, then even running over. And he said, that's the way God's going to do us. Folks, he's not just talking about money. He's talking about the wonderful blessings of God upon a life that gives. Money's not the only thing you can give. You give of your time, you give of your hospitality, you give of so many things in life, and God says, I'll give it back again. Okay? Turn over to Matthew, 6th chapter, Matthew. Nineteenth verse, again, we use this in our graduation services as we preach. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. He gives us and tells us we're not to lay our treasures up. That's very simple. You don't lay them up here on earth because they're going to be destroyed. You're not going to get anything out of them. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust nor corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. Impossibility for those treasures to be stolen when you lay up treasures in heaven. And then he says this, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It is a truth I wish everybody to get a hold of. It's where your treasure is, that is where your heart is. Whatever is your treasure, that's where your heart is. And of course, God says on down further there about you cannot serve God and mammon. He wants God to be our treasure, not the things of this earth. We have to deal with the things of this earth. We have to do all those things. God knows that. But our treasure must be the things of the Lord. You know why? Because that's where our heart's going to be. Wherever our treasure, whatever your treasure in life tonight is, I'll guarantee you something according to Scripture, that's where your heart is. Whatever is more important to you, whatever is your treasure, that's where your heart is. And mine too. Amen? Amen. So I could go on, and I'm not going to, but let me just make a statement. The way and how a Christian handles money is a barometer of their spiritual condition. If you don't believe me, take time to look at Luke 16:11. Take time to look at Matthew 19:21. The way we handle money shows forth what kind of spiritual life we have. It doesn't mean you're not saved. It doesn't mean that. It just means that our spiritual barometer of our spiritual life, much of that is decided on the way we handle finances. Look them up. Amen. Now, what I'm saying to you is this, folks. God says you ought not to rob God. We ought not to rob him. And I would ask you to ask yourself, are we robbing God? Not just in money, which is important, but are we robbing God? Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for your grace and your mercy and your kindness and your goodness to us. Once again, we commit ourselves to you again, new, fresh. Father, we need your help. We need your blessings. We need you to teach us and train us in the way which we should go. And Lord, we certainly pray for God's people here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Help us in this matter of giving and not robbing God. So we ask you to help us to, if there's decisions that need to be made, Father, they need to be made tonight. Need to come to an old altar prayer and just get alone with God and give God our hearts and that which we have. So I just pray and ask your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen.